Yeah, much better, huh? Uh-oh. I thought the beard would muffle it a little bit. All right, so Ephesians 5, 25. 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to open up your word now, and I pray that you would just use your word to help us all, Lord, to just reprove and rebuke and just to glorify you too, Lord. And just we thank you so much for it, and we just thank you for this time we can have together, and we just pray that we come out of here with something new. In Jesus' name, amen. So he mentions, husbands, love your wives, and that's pretty important, all right? But he's also giving us a lot of information about his church, okay? And the topic that I have here today is the church I want to attend. The church I want to attend. What church would I want to attend? And in Matthew 16, 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." All right? So the first part, Ephesians ones that we were reading there, it's talking about Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, for the church, okay? That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, the church, okay? So it's talking about the church here, the church. It doesn't say the church all the time, but it's it, and that it is referring back to the church. So, you know, the type of church I want to attend, all right? And God says, or Jesus Christ says, I will build my church. So this Bible verse isn't saying Dave Hoffman is going to build Dave Hoffman's church. It doesn't say Dave Hoffman is going to build Christ's church. It doesn't say Glenn Peterson or Jeremy or this person or that person. It doesn't say any person is going to build the church. It says, Christ says, I will build the church. All right? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus Christ is going to build his own church. And he really doesn't need any of us, you know. And I understand that this is also talking about the corporate body of the whole body of believers. You know, if anybody says, you know, how many members do you have at your church? You ought to be saying millions. You know, because we have millions. We really do. We don't know how many we have. It is. It's as the stars or as the sand. We don't know. And so it's, I understand that that's talking about the corporate church, but I'm going to speak a little bit today about our church and our building here. So, you know, you ought to be excited to go to church. You ought to be excited about it. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what kind of a church do I want to belong to? What kind of church do I want to attend? And sometimes I think the excitement is kind of gone. You know, I've been here, what is it? I don't know. I don't remember. Mama, how many? 15 years, and I'm just a newcomer, all right? You know, I've been here that long, but yet, you know, sometimes I think, well, the excitement seems to be gone, and what's changed? What's happened, all right? So sometimes I kind of feel like that, maybe I get accused of it too, Eeyore, you know, oh boy, everything that could go wrong is going to go wrong, you know, Eeyore, you know, and I feel like, you know, oh, well, you know, that's a lousy attitude, but, you know, sometimes I do that, all right? And it doesn't only seem to be that way with me, but it seems, again, like the church right now is kind of in a thing. And I think part of it was with Felipe leaving. You know, we're kind of left with a little hole there and his family. And we had a great teacher and a leader, and we miss him and his family. But I think it's deeper than that as well, and we need some instructions as to what we're looking for in a church. And we need to kind of take the pulse. Take the pulse of the church, all right? And find out what we need to do and what we need to stand for. So my first part is, the church I want to attend is a united church. Okay, Mark 3:25. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. All right? So I want to attend a church that's a united church. You can't, or at least you shouldn't, attend a church that's not united. You know, you shouldn't be at a church. You shouldn't even be thinking of going to one if it's not a united church. And we don't need to change our name to the United Baptist Church of Lowell, you know. But united, you got to be kind of thinking alike. You got to have that unity in the book, in all these other things that I'm going to be speaking about. All right, you can't have half of the people thinking, well, this doctrine is this, and then, you know, three quarters of the other people disagreeing with you. You know, that's because those quarter of people can't figure out what they're thinking. But you know, you have to have the united part, the united church. The church I want to attend is an attended church, okay? And, well, John 20:19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So this verse is telling us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, some people say, well, you know what, I just don't get anything out of church. I'm just going to stay home, and I'm just going to, you know, have my home church or this or that. You know, and I guess that's better than not attending any church or not doing anything. But yet, you know, it says that we should assemble together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, all right? This verse tells us that we should be assembling. But to do that, you have to attend church, okay? You have to attend. You know, that's a novel idea. I understand that. And I understand here, too, that, you know, I don't want to be preaching to the choir because you guys are here, you know, but and especially when Felipe was here and we were getting the, you know, so much great stuff, you know, I hated to see Sunday school so empty. I mean, this isn't empty, but that's just because the Moores are here and they have so many kids, and the Bardwells with so many kids. Anyway, but no, but I hate to see that. So the church that I want to attend, I want it to be an attended church, you know, and some people say, you know, well, I don't want to go to that church because no one's ever there. Well, if we all said that, no one would be there. And, you know, so you can't just take that, you know, that attitude, you know, small churches, you know, they're all across America. Dan, you've probably visited hundreds of them, you know, and it's they're small churches. But be faithful and go there. Just continue to go there. So I want to attend the church that's attended. The church I want to attend is a friendly church. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Well, the people of that church just aren't friendly. You know, we probably had that said about us often. You know, but we shouldn't. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, the nice church, the church down the street for you visitors. It was called, I don't know what it's called now, but it was called the nice church. I don't want us to be like that. But yet, you ought to be friendly. You know, you ought to be at least, you know, surely friendly with everybody in here, the members of the body of the Christ. But yet, when a visitor comes, you ought to be showing yourself friendly. And it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So we ought to be a friendly church. So, you know, you just have to, you know, it's a practical thing and often unheeded, this verse. It's often unheeded. You know, people just aren't friendly. So we need to be friendly, and then people will be able to say they attended or visited a friendly church. And I think that's important. Fourth thing is, the church I want to attend is a loving church. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So friendly, as I was saying, friendly is one aspect, but a loving church is a couple of steps beyond that. We need to love one another, okay? The verse I just read says, by your love toward others, you know, by that you're going to show all men know that ye are my disciples, that all men shall know that. So if you're not showing this type of love one toward another, other unsaved people will come in here and they'll not realize that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're out on the job, if you're not a loving person, if you're not that kind of person, there, it says that that will show. Shall all men know that ye are my disciples? So people will know that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ just by the love you show them. All right. So again, it's a couple of steps beyond that friendly. And it ought to be clearly apparent to people that you are a Christian when you're out of this church or in it. You know, it ought to be clearly, to them through your love that you're a Christian. So don't hinder that by failing to love one another. The church I want to attend is a spiritual church. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Then Revelation 3:13 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." This verse, or some other likeness to it, is repeated time and time again in Revelation, all right? I think it's about 7 times that it's almost exactly like that, you know. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The Spirit. And that Spirit happens to be a big capital S Spirit, okay? So if you have an ear, everybody, and probably even have 2 of them, you know, most last I checked, maybe. Mike Tyson's opponent doesn't, but everybody else probably has 2 ears. So, you know, if you have an ear, you ought to hear. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So he's talking to us. And I think, again, quite often, we want to ignore the Spirit. We just don't want to hear the Spirit. We don't want to acknowledge the Spirit. You know, Jesus said this, Jesus said that, but you know, we need to listen to the Spirit as well. And again, I know that the verse about the Lord will pertains to this too, and I know it's, again, that's the Lord. James 4:15, where it says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will," where was it? "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Because if it's not the Lord's will, if the Spirit does not want you to do something or something to happen in your life, it won't happen. So you need to listen to the Spirit, okay? So we need to be a spiritual church. We need to, you know, and it's not just, oh, religion this or religion that or whatever, you know. But we need to listen to what the Spirit has to say. And if the Spirit doesn't want you to do something, he'll also prevent you from doing it. I pray that probably as often as I pray that, you know, Spirit, show me the way, or Spirit, block the path. You know, show me the way or block it, whichever it is. So, and studying the different uses of the word Spirit, I started to do that too. It's like, oh, the capital S's as opposed to the small S's. That's a very interesting topic, but that's one of those things you ought to, you know, just kind of look at on your own sometime, because it is an interesting thing. Look them up in the Bible, and maybe it'll be another sermon for somebody for a Sunday school. But that's a good topic too. The next thing is, the church I want to attend is a missionary church. It's a missionary church. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So I want to attend a church that is a missionary church. Because if we all took this verse and made it 100% literal, you know, there would be no need for us, again, to have this building. You know, go ye, that's all of us, go ye therefore, and teach all nations. All right, so, you know, if we took this 100% literal, we could all just walk out of here and go out and teach the world. All right, but as we know, that's not always possible either. And I'm not sure that this verse is supposed to be taking 100% literal. Throughout the week it is, though. throughout the week it is. It's go out and teach all people. But I want to attend a church that is a missionary church. Because again, by me putting in extra money into the offering plate, by me supporting a missionary on my own, by me helping out or just encouraging a missionary in any way, it's a blessing to God, it's a blessing to the missionary, and God ends up blessing you for it. And it also, by us helping out the missionaries, and again, I feel that we are a missionary-minded church here, and it's a good thing, but that's like me, go ye therefore. That's just, if I put that $20 in the plate and it gets directly to a missionary, that is me going therefore. I have spent my time in another fashion so that God's word could get out. All right? And we need, and I want to attend, a church that is missionary-minded. A couple weeks ago, we went to a wedding up at Borsma there. That one girl there is Betsy Borsma, Toad's daughter. And while we were there, Toad's son's new wife's father's parents. Got that? Hey, I'm surprised I couldn't even say it still. Toad's son, Seth, got married. Some of you know Seth. He got married to a girl, half Chinese and half American, and the dad is 100% Chinese. And I had 5 minutes to talk to the guy, really, because it's busy at weddings, but boy, what an interesting story. And this guy's family was from China. They lived in China. And, I'm kind of thinking, well, what religion are you, type of thing. But his whole family got saved, he told me. I think I told him about Tremblies and, people that we know in China. And he's like, my family got saved because of missionaries in China. Now it wasn't anybody we knew, but it may have been. It might be Tremblies or somebody that we're supporting is doing the same thing right now. But that guy then, his grandma taught his parents and his parents taught him, and they all got saved, and most of them got out of China. I guess there's still maybe one or two over there, but not many. But that's, what a blessing, all right? And that's seeing the fruits. We don't often get to see that fruit, but it's happening, and I pray for all the missionaries, Maggie and Matthew down in Brazil and Dan and all these guys out there, and, we need to be, and I want to attend a missionary church. The church I want to attend is a people church. Proverbs 22:2 says, "The rich and poor meet together." The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. It should not matter if someone walks through these doors and is dirt poor. As a matter of fact, I'm actually poor, but I have a lot of dirt, as most of you know about my berms. So I'm not sure what that makes me, cash poor but dirt rich. Yeah, I'm dirt rich. All right, that just means I got a lot of dirt though. But conversely, just because someone is rich, we should not feign over them and come to our church. We need your money, thanks. No, it shouldn't be either way. It's we're all part of the body of Christ. But I think that's what this is talking about there. I mean, I know it is. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. So this verse says it, really just perfectly. We just need to meet together. We need to meet together, rich or poor. And the church I want to attend is a people church. The church I want to attend is a live church. And bummer, I was so hoping that Jeff Koontz would be here so I could talk about snoring in church. So I'll talk about him anyway. I don't want to have to come in here and check everybody's pulse as we're in the middle of Sunday school, all right? I'm guilty because I've been up here snoozing away sometimes. sometimes the devil just gets to you and you start nodding off. I don't get it, but it happens to me and I'm sure it happens to other people. But I want to be at a live church. I want to be at an active church. I want people to be alive. Isaiah 30, verse 7 says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. 1 Corinthians 9:2 says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Let's not have us sit still. That verse isn't complimenting the Egyptians there. It's not saying, oh, I love you Egyptians because you sit still. No, no. Their strength is to sit still. That means they're not doing anything. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Sitting still creates no purpose. And again, I like to sit still sometimes. You know, I do that. But I don't want a church to be like that. I don't want our church to be like that. I want it to be an active church. So let's not just sit still. I don't want that to be our strength. Sometimes I come in here and I listen to a sermon, and all I maybe hear is Jeff Koontz snoring. Hey, Emma, or Marty, could you go back there and talk to somebody? Just 1 second. So the church I want to attend is a live church, okay? And, you know, I talked to you, you know, we need to be alive spiritually and we need to be alive physically. And so we need to act lively. The church I want to attend is a faithful church, all right? A faithful church. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to reach others also. Colossians 1:2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, faithful is probably a misconstrued word. Faithful today probably means a person went to church on a day other than a holiday. That's faithful. You know, that's a faithful person. You know, it really surprises some people when I tell them that I go to church on Thursday and twice on Sunday. All right? But faithful in the Bible, you know, what did the verse just read? The first verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We need to be faithful. You know, we don't even know how to be that kind of faithful. We don't exercise that kind of faithfulness. Again, we're barely faithful enough to go to church the 3 times a week, all right? So we need to have that kind of faithfulness. And I think we really need to work on this one if we want this to be a church that people want to attend. The church I want to attend is a tithing church. Malachi 3:10 and 11 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So if you're a tithing church, if you're a tithing person, if you give, the Lord will give you back. Doc has often said he it's almost like a contest. He's going to see if he can outgive the Lord. And you know what? You cannot outgive the Lord. You can't. The Lord will return your money. Your Lord will return your time. The Lord will return it to you. And again, it says it in a, right here in this verse. Bring ye all the tithes. If I will not, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So that will pour you out a blessing. All right? And God will do that. And I, you know, sometimes I think Kim thinks that I get taken advantage of because I like, you know, I do things for people and this and that and whatever. And she probably says, oh, you know, well, what are you doing? You know, you probably should be home cleaning the garage. But anyway, whoops. Oh, so most of you have been in my garage too. But anyway, but you know what? I don't want to get paid back. I don't want that because God's going to pay me back. And you know what? I'm sorry you guys are all nice people and all that, and I'm going to help you, but God's going to pay me back. That's better. You know, no matter what it is, how I give, what I do, you know, when you tithe your money, time, efforts, God will pay you back. And I'd rather have him not even pay me back here on earth. I'd rather get the reward in heaven, all right? And that's a tithing church. So when God pays it back, it's way better than just getting paid back here on earth. The church I want to attend is a witnessing church. It's a witnessing church. Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Acts 1:8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This church has ample opportunity for any member or visitor to be a witness. All right, now these verses in Acts are talking about the people, the disciples that actually saw Jesus Christ. They actually physically, you know, observed him do these things. They observed him return from the dead. They observed it all. They were first-hand witnesses, okay? But we are all witnesses. Has anybody read this book? Has anybody read this? That, you know what that makes you? Whether you want to be or not, that makes you a witness. You are now a witness to what the Lord Jesus Christ did. You're now a witness to this. So I want to attend a church that is a witnessing church. You know, we have, I guess each one has different things. You know, there's the street preaching. There's the fair stuff. There's the school stuff. There's the Bible school stuff. There's the nursing home stuff. There's, you know, just everyday stuff. There's, you know, Sunday stuff, you know, Sunday school stuff. There's plenty of ways for us to be a witness. You know, and some of us are called to testify to these facts. It's just like a law room, a courtroom. Some of us are called to testify to the facts of this Bible that I know, and I want to tell others about it. What way you do it is up to you and between you and God, but I want to attend a church that is a witnessing church. The church I want to attend is a Bible preaching church. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's a lot in this Bible that I have here, and without studying it, it could seem like I don't know. It could be overwhelming. Or it could be, you know, I could think, well, I know enough, I'm done. Yeah, that's interesting, I read it through. Yeah, that was good. You know, I can read a book through and the next week I don't remember really what I read. So I'm glad that I still read this and hear it and listen to it and get it preached to me over and over and over again. But I want to attend a church that is a Bible preaching church. We want to remember that this is an eternal book. It's an eternal book. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I really do not need to know all the bad stuff going on in the world. There's enough of it. We've heard more this week. But we don't need it all. We can keep abreast of that without delving into all the carnal junk that then enters into your mind. So much of that stuff, the news just pushes it and pushes it and pushes it. We were talking about it in the Breakfast Club this morning. You know, the media just wants to push this garbage on you over and over and over. I don't need to hear all that. I want to come in here and hear some Bible preached. I want to come in here and hear the Bible, okay? There are things that once you hear them, they stick with you, and you can't get the bad images and pictures. They're stuck in your mind, and you just can't get them out. So I just want the true Word of God stuck in my mind. The church I want to attend is a Bible-preaching church. The church I want to attend is an old-time hymn-singing church, all right? And here I'm going to teach you to memorize two verses at the same time. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That's two verses. All right, that's Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26. So you could memorize two verses at once there. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I love it when we sing the old hymns. Some of the other songs are okay, you know, for someone to get up and sing, and that's good. But I really appreciate that we sing the old hymns, and I appreciate that we sing the all the stanzas of the hymn. And the song, sometimes I hate it when maybe they skip a verse, and I've done it too, when you know, probably when I'm just really doing bad up there and I can't get through the song, and you skip a verse or something, and then you look back and you read what you just skipped. And I think, oh, God just put that on me. I that might be the message, might be in that verse you skipped. Sometimes the one verse you skipped could be a whole sermon, you know. And many of these songs, the old hymns, they could be a whole sermon in and of themselves. And when you are singing the old songs, I want to attend a church where the people sing it like they actually mean it. All right? And again, I probably picked some bad songs for that because it was so high I couldn't even sing it myself. But you know what? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know what? Come on. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Man, you know, we don't feel it. You know? We need to actually sing it like we mean it. Doesn't matter what we sound like, just so God hears it. So you gotta hear what you're saying. So I could sit up here and sing you or play you certain worldly songs that once they get in your mind, you can't get them out. You just can't get them out. Actually, all night last night, I wanted to sing another song, but it's in this book. I forgot which book it was in. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's in this book. And that song, all night last night, because I was wanting to sing that this morning, that was in my mind all night. And when I woke up in the middle of the night, that was on my mind. That was going through my mind. And then there's some of these... I won't even say the names of the songs because when you say the name of the song, it gets in your mind and you can't get it out. And I don't want that kind of stuff in my mind. I really don't. Things put to music, I think, are put in a special place in your brain. I mean, what was it? Our kids had to learn their address. I won't pick on Emma because she just walked out. Their address and stuff, and we put it to a song so they'd remember it. And the teacher asked Emma, she did. She left so I can say it. Oh, bummer, she's there. All right, sorry. Now I started, I got to finish it. So the teacher says, yeah, at the parent-teacher conference, well, sorry, you know, Emma doesn't know her address. We're like, what are you talking about? Oh, ask her to sing it. 12842 South Oak Park. She could sing it, but she did not remember it. But when she sang it, she remembered it. But that's my whole point is that music is put in a special place in your brain. And I truly believe that because I've experienced that. So which will it be for you? Music in your mind to glorify God or to haunt you? All right? So, in closing, how do you find a united, attended, friendly, loving, spiritual, missionary, people active, faithful, tithing, witnessing, Bible-believing, old-time hymn-singing church? It's easy. You become one. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just be with us and help us to be this church. It's a wonderful church. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And Lord, I know you're not talking about our building here because we got a lot of spots and a lot of wrinkles. But yet, Lord, your church is without spot and without wrinkle. And I thank you so much for it. And I thank you for letting all of us here be a member of that church. And just help us, Lord, to just be worthy of that. In Jesus' name, amen.